Isbell is a human design specialist and a level 3 Reiki practitioner. Based in Melbourne, she works with clients one-on-one in sessions over Zoom and through her online course, Holistic Human Designed and The Magic Zone. Looking at a human design chart, if you've ever done yours, you'll see those 9 different energy centers, and then there's lines coming off all of them, which are colored in or not, or striped, and there's numbers. It's pretty wild. Having worked with Roz on my own human design to discover more about myself and working to my strengths in my business, as well as my family, I thought it would be great to have you on here, Roz. We can talk about business and human design and marketing and anything else that takes our fancy. What do you think? Welcome, Roz.
Thanks, Miranda. It sounds like it's right in my wheelhouse. It sounds like fun. I can talk about human design for a very long time, so be warned.
I just had a first question. And what did you do before you found human design? Because I know it's like your life's work now, like, your purpose. What did you do beforehand?
Lots of things. I did not come to human design from one career. I've actually had a few. And interestingly, I'm designed to have a few, which was quite a relief when I worked it out after I discovered human design. I started after I left school. I was one of these people that just wanted to get straight into the workforce. I could have gone to uni. I got into a course, but I didn't actually go through with it. I started working in retail in a management trainee program, and I worked for Myer. So probably a lot of your listeners will know of Myer here in Melbourne. And I worked there did the trainee program, worked there for 8 years. And then I left and started working in the clothing industry because I'd been selling in the menswear department. I'd been looking after the menswear department as my last job. I went to work for a menswear company, and from there I went to work for another menswear company which also had children's wear in its portfolio, and I started working in the children's wear division and always in sales and marketing. And from there I went to another company in children's wear and got retrenched.
One of those fortunate retrenchings?
Well, it's so interesting because I remember saying to someone one day after I'd been working with this new children's wear company for a while, you know, I feel like such an idiot. I feel like I've been doing the wrong thing for a very long time. And by that stage, it was about 15 years, I think. And the very next day I went into work and got retrenched.
We always get what we want.
So I really did regard it as an opportunity. Once I licked my wounds, my pride and all of that sort of thing, I thought, right, well, there's something in this. And I had always been very interested in working in the wine industry or being a winemaker. I wanted to be a winemaker before I realized that I was no good at chemistry, which is kind of one of those things that you needed to be pretty good at. At least not good enough to be a winemaker, which in retrospect I probably would have been okay, but whatever. And I started looking for roles in the wine industry. I actually went down to the local bottle shop and asked them if they needed anyone, and as luck would have it, they did. So I worked for the local bottle shop for about 12 months before I was offered a role with a very large wine company, actually Australia's largest wine company. And from there, I went on to become the Victorian State Sales Manager for their on-premise division, which is all the restaurants and clubs and those sorts of things. And so there was, I often said I ate more dinners out in that 5-year period than I did at home because it was all about entertaining clients. And it was actually my dream job. It was a wonderful job. I really, really loved it. But it wasn't very conducive to starting a family. And I had met somebody and decided that that was something that we would like to investigate. And so I finished up after a while. There were some changes within that company. They'd been taken over, and I really didn't think that the new company that had taken them over and I were going to get on that well. I just didn't really think that our philosophies aligned. And so I thought I'd take the lead this time. And I left and did nothing for a little while, probably about 6 months. And then after, you know, 22 years in the workforce, then I started studying nutritional medicine. And from there, I did manage to get pregnant. And so I spent the first 4 or 5 years of being a mum, just being a mum, enjoying that, you know, sort of being there at all times. And then I decided I better do something, and quite inappropriately decided to start a website, and decided that I was going to be a health and wellness coach and all that sort of thing. And that sort of didn't work all that well. I'd done a few other things as well. Selling thermo mixes.
Inappropriately, is that to do with the human design side of you?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. It's really great to look back in retrospect and say, I don't think I was doing that quite right. Trying to make things happen, because I'm a manifesting generator, and manifesting generators and pure generators, as you know, Miranda, are not designed to make things happen. But I wanted to make things happen. And so synchronistically, as is often the way, I had met some lovely people in a Facebook group, and got quite friendly with a couple of the people, and one of my friends from that group invited me to go to an essential oils party. And I've been looking for an essential oil to align with my products, because I really love them. I love smell. I'm designed to love smell. And I really believed in the power of their therapeutic values as well as their emotional values. And so I went to this essential oils workshop and sort of signed up with that. But that led me to human design. That was the whole thing. Yeah, that's how it all works. Yes, I love the essential oils. Yes, I had them and still have them in my life. But I really went there to find out about human design, not ever having heard of it before that particular event. So, yeah.
So you've already just dropped a few hints about human design for those who haven't ever heard of it. I mean, I think I found out about it through someone who I think was talking about it in reference to you. I can't quite remember, but it was one of those ones. Like I'll put the link in the show notes. You put your birthday in and where you were born, and then it spits out this sort of information about a type. And so can you just explain, do you want to tell us where it came from, or more just about like what it is? Maybe just more about what it is.
Okay, so human design is what I like to call a life navigation tool. Mm-hmm. It's kind of it tells you who you are, who you came here to be, what your strengths are, what your potential vulnerabilities are, how you best operate, best make decisions, how you best get to sleep at night. I mean, there's just so many things that human design tells you about yourself. And of course, with the added bonus of being able to tell you about your children, about your loved ones, your friends, your family, anyone, basically anyone whose birth details you can grab. And yeah, you punch the details into some software and it gives you this amazing chart. And very quickly, human design is a system that was downloaded. It was a downloaded system by a gentleman who at the time went by the name of Alan Krakauer and now goes by the name of Ra Uruhu. He passed away in 2011. But in 1987, he had an experience on the island of Ibiza where it was at the time of a supernova, the death of a star, and he describes it as being accosted by this voice. And this voice sort of pushed him into his dilapidated old rundown ruined place that he was staying at. And he was held hostage, his words again, for 8 days. I think it was 8 days and nights. And he was just basically programmed, imprinted with the information of the voice, which became the human design information. And a lot of the prophecies that he was given have since come to pass. And there's just so much wisdom in the system. I don't really care. I love the details. I love that kind of behind the scenes stuff. Once again, it's how I'm designed. But that doesn't matter. What matters to me is that it works and that it's changed so many lives, myself included, of course. But it's very rare that I will have a reading with somebody, tell somebody what's going on in their chart, and they don't go, oh wow, that's incredible, and you know, that's given me a different way of seeing what's going on in my life, for better or for worse. It's just so powerful, and it's so, you know, it gives me certainty, and I'm someone who needs certainty.
Yes, I know. I had that experience in doing a session with you. I was like, oh, where has this been all my life? But you sort of have mentioned a few times, like, that's what I'm designed to do, or that type of thing. So what has it meant for you learning this? Like, I mean, I see business as a very powerful self-development journey that we're on. Most of us are curious about doing more or being more or learning more, or just, you know, like working to our strengths. I feel like that is almost the gift of doing it. So what has it meant for you in terms of running your business and working for yourself?
I think, and look, it's an evolution. If you had asked me this question 7 years ago, when I was first learning about human design, I probably would have answered quite differently. But for me now, it's allowed me or shown me just how important it is to be authentic in your business. And if you are not authentic, and you know, Miranda, that I think that this is something that you do so brilliantly in your business, but this, you be you, don't try and be what the socials tell you you should be, because it just damn well won't work.
Does it work for anyone?
Oh, well, I don't mind. I think it does, but I don't know. I mean, look, you know, can they sleep at night? That's what I want to know. I think some people can fake their way through it. And I think that that also has a lot to do with the way that they're designed. You know, there's 9% of us, you know, the manifestor type, who are designed to just do it. If they want to do it, just get up and do it. And so there's 9% of the population who are always going to be able to be fake if it feels like they should be fake. But for me, it's given me the confidence to be the real me. And that's something that I probably struggled with in the past. I felt that I had to fall into the formula. I had to do it the way that, you know, that the gurus were telling me that I had to do it. And now, you know, to each their own, for sure, but I find myself kind of laughing a little bit, with all the love in the world, at some of those gurus and what they try and pump into people, because I realize that it's going to suit a small percentage of the population, and it's going to leave the rest in its wake. And then it's just not even worth us looking at it, because unless you're getting, unless the messages that you are getting via your strategy and authority, which is, you know, I apologize for the jargon so early in the piece, but it's not going to be worthwhile you following, you doing whatever it is that these, so well, very learned people in many cases are telling you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if you've ever bought a course or followed someone's exact steps and it didn't quite work out for you, or you didn't resonate with you, what I'm hearing you say is maybe you just weren't designed to do it that way.
That's right. And you know what? Human design will even tell you whether you should do a course or not. Whether and I've done many courses over the years, you know, many courses since I left that wonderful job in the wine industry. I actually don't even want to think about the number of courses I've done. And a relatively small percentage of them have been wonderful. They have changed my life, and I am so grateful that I did them. And it would have been because, unbeknownst to me at the time, I was following my human design strategy. Mm. And the rest of them, total waste of money. Shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, sort of like an Instagram post by Amy Porterfield or an ad or something about like the online course industry is $400 billion next year, said to be that. And I was like, yep. And how many of them are online entrepreneurs and business owners who may or may not be have the funds to do it, but just got, you know, bombarded by all the shiny objects and the shiny ads and the shiny testimonials and decided it was for them.
And once again, you know, all of these things show up in your chart, you know, whether or not you are prone to bright, shiny object syndrome, whether or not you are designed to change your tack on a regular basis because of the way that you are designed. You know, if you've got an open G center, which is one of the energy centers in the chart, then you're not designed to do the same job over and over, you know, for years. You're designed to change direction. It's perfectly fine. And do you know what? The power and the confidence you receive from knowing that is it's amazing. It's amazing. I talk a lot about frequency, and I know, you know, it's quite the flavor of the month these days to talk about frequency. Excuse me, but I've been talking about it for a very long time. And when you understand how you are designed, I think I'm going off on a different tangent here because I'm designed to. When you understand how you're designed and you have that faith and confidence in yourself, your frequency raises. This is what I say. You know, human design is one of the greatest frequency raising tools there is, because knowing how you're designed to present yourself to the world and to do life raises your frequency automatically.
Totally. Now, I think now would be a good time to explain the different types. And maybe what would you say? Like there, so it's five different types. Would it be talking about like the strengths and weaknesses of each, or more about like sort of that tapping into that, like how each one maybe taps into their own frequency, just in case somebody is listening to this and then they like Google up their little design chart and they just want to start.
I hope they do. By the way, if they want a chart, they can go to mybodygraph.com.
I'll pop the link in, but yes.
Yeah, just if you happen to be listening and you want to, you know, want to look up your chart.
I mean, it's free, right? Like, why wouldn't you do this?
Exactly. And if you go to mybodygraph.com, you can run as many charts as you like. You can in most of the free software. There's lots of free software out there. So you don't have to use that particular one. It's just one I like. I guess it's one that I'm used to. If I explain them to you and explain very quickly their strategies, what that will do is, because I don't like talking so much about the strengths and weaknesses, because we are all pieces of the puzzle. And there's not so much weaknesses. I think there's strengths in all of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I knew and that wasn't the right word.
Yeah, no.
Or just like, I guess the pitfalls or that, you know, what is it, the frustrations or the...
Yeah, well, like the not self themes.
Yes, then when we know that we're not acting and in
Yeah,
alignment with our
let's
design.
do that. Let's do that. So as you said, Miranda, there's five different types. There is the manifested, which I've already referred to, which is approximately 9% of the population. And they are the only type who are designed or able to essentially get an idea. And if it feels right for them, depending on how they're designed, but they'll generally know, if it feels right for them, just do it, right? If it feels good, do it. They're actually designed to initiate the rest of us. They're designed to get the ball rolling. And so it's a relatively small percentage of the population. They don't have a huge amount of energy, by the way. They don't have a lot of energy to just keep going and going and going and going. They have the energy to initiate things, and then they tend to pass it on to someone else. So a lot of manifestors have been very successful in the online entrepreneurial world, and a lot of the rest of us look on at them and think, how did they do it? Well, they just did. Yeah, that's the thing. They just did. And they're amazing. I don't want to take anything away from them. They are amazing, but we can't all do what they've done unless we are following our strategy and authority. And when I say us, I'm talking about us who are not in the 9%. So then we have projectors, and projectors make up about 21-22% of the population. Actually, projectors are the one type that is actually growing in percentage. And they haven't been around for that long. They've only been around for about 300 odd years, not quite that, 250 years. So they're fairly new on the scene. And projectors need to wait for an invitation. They need to be recognized and invited to do things. Now, I'm talking about the big things in life here, like getting involved in a relationship, getting married, like traveling, like living arrangements, like career, anything to do with your job or your career. They don't need to be invited to cook dinner or do the laundry, unfortunately, but they do need to be invited into the big things in life. And so this can be quite a revelation for people when they find out that they've been a projector all of their life, and they're not actually designed to just do it or to respond to things in their external reality. They're designed to wait to be recognized and invited. They also, like the manifestor, don't have a lot of energy. In fact, the way that their energy works is probably even, they probably have even less physical energy than a manifestor may have access to. The way that they get their energy is by following up on invitations. And the idea around being a projector is that you follow your bliss. You absolutely follow what lights you up, because projectors are very, very wise people who are here to guide, manage, and direct the rest of us. They just know how to do it. Little projectors, little kids who are projectors are so wise. It's just beautiful. Yes.
Through you, I found out I've got two little wise projectors who are here to tell me what to do.
Yeah, in their own beautiful way. And as their parent, it's up to you whether you do what they say, but you always want to invite them to share. You always want to invite them to be a part of the management of the family, because that will help them in their later years. So for projectors with their little amounts of energy, they need to make sure that they're getting enough rest and make sure that they're not overdoing it. They're not allowing themselves to get overwhelmed, because that happens very easily. And as I was saying, they need to follow their bliss, because when they're following their bliss, when they're doing what lights them up, and they usually love learning, you know, they love getting into the thick of finding out about how life works in some way, shape, or form. when they do that, their frequency raises. And when their frequency raises, that allows them to attract more of what they want into their life, which of course includes invitations. That includes the right people who will recognize them and invite them. So that's kind of the secret to the way projectors are run. Mm-hmm. run. So if you find out that either you are a projector, or even more importantly, that you are looking after projectors, or you're in a relationship with a projector, you need to really, you know, take care of yourself or take care of them, because they are very, very special, and our world simply would not move forward without them. They are here for the future. We all are, but, you know, projectors have a very important role in our future. Then you've got the reflectors. They're only 1% of the population. They are all white. Their human design chart, all of those shapes on the chart, which are the energy centers, are all white, which means that what they are doing is they are reflecting back to everyone they come into contact with, back at them what is going on for those people they come in contact with. They are like a barometer. They are the canary in the coal mine. So if somebody is not doing so well and they come into contact with a reflector, the reflector will reflect that by themselves not doing so well. If a reflector's in a job that they and everyone in the company, like the company is a bit of a low vibing company, mm-hmm. that will show up for the reflector very quickly, and the reflector will get sick or, you know, burn out, not do so well. Reflectors are interesting in that because they don't have any set definition in their chart in terms of the energy centers, they need to wait a full lunar cycle, so 28, 29 days, in order to be able to make a decision, because it takes that amount of time for them to experience all of the energies in the human design, in the body graph. There's 64 different gate energies, and it takes a full month for those energies to go through the moon. It's a little complex. I won't go into too much detail here, but suffice to say, they need the month so that they can touch in with all of those energies and know what their truth is at the end of the month. And when I say they need a month to make a decision. You know, obviously not on what they're going to have for lunch. That would be foolish. However, on any decent decision that's going to cost them time, money, or energy, they really do need to consider it over a period of a month. And they also don't have a lot of energy, so they need to make sure that they get enough alone time. Alone time is incredibly important for reflectors, as is being around people, because they do need to be around people. It's one of the ways that they actually are able to function, by mm-hmm. being around people. So much more to say on them, but let's move on to the last two types, who are the generator types. So we have a pure generator, which is your type.
Yes, it is.
And the manifesting generator, which is my type. So the pure generators make up around about 36% of the population. And the reason that I leave the generators to last is because those two types are the two types that do have a lot of energy. They do have a lot of get up and go. They keep going and going and going and going until they stop, go to sleep, and get up again and do it the next day. That's just what generators are all about. They're the builders. When I say generators, I'm talking about the two different types mm-hmm. of generators here. They are the builders, the makers, the creators. They've got the physical life force and workforce energy to make things happen. And so the generator types, the pure generators, which you are, they are people who are here to respond to things that show up for them in their external reality. So when I say external reality, I'm talking about outside of their head. And when something shows up for them, it could be someone asking them to do something, suggesting that they write a book. It could be an email that shows up for you. It could be a rumbly tummy that's outside of your head. It could be anything. As long as it shows up in real life, outside of your head. It can't be something that you dream up. It can't be something that you've kind of downloaded. It can't be an imagining. It has to be something in real life that comes to you.
Why can't I just have a dream and think of something and make $1 million, Roz?
Well, you can, but you have to wait for it to show up in your external reality. I call this seeding the universe, right? I call this asking God to bring you what it is that you need. God, I have had this dream. Universe, you gave me this download. Now show it to me in real life so I know it is for me to go ahead with. It's so important.
Can you ask for that? Ask for it to show up? Like, hey,
yes.
Would it be like a would you be interested type thing, but it's specific? Or
what do you think? You sit down and write a letter to the universe. No, it can be much more simple than that.
To a person.
What you want to do, if you get an amazing idea, and let's face it, you know, our minds are just going 1,000,000 miles an hour. Some of our minds are going more than 1,000,000 miles an hour, depending on how we're designed. If you get a great idea that you would like to take action on it, I couldn't caution you harder to stop before you press play, before you go ahead and do it, and say, hey, dude, can you please bring me a sign outside of me, some sort of sign by Friday lunchtime or by this time next month or whenever you want it to bring it to you, that this is what I should be doing. And I also recommend you say to the universe or the dude, and make it clear, make sure I don't miss it. If that comes to you, go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, run it through your strategy and authority. I'm using jargon again, I know. Is it always a good thing to do to make sure that it's right, right? Mm-hmm. Just that the universe isn't playing games with it, with you, which it doesn't do. Well, it does, but, you know. but I really caution you to do that, because if you don't, if you go ahead and do what came, this wonderful idea that came into your head without waiting for it to show up in your external reality, it will most likely cost you time, money, and or energy. It will very likely be harder than it should be. It most likely won't work. And it could very likely burn you out or make you sick. So if that's not enough to suggest that you don't do it.
The first time when you explained that to me, it definitely felt like the penny dropped in terms of like, and obviously some of the people who are listening to this are generators, and we'll go on to manifesting generators next, but just that like, but why didn't that idea that I had in my head like totally work? But it was also just that, yeah. And I think this is a really great point to make, and I'm going to talk about business and marketing too with you, but you know, it's that thing of like, we always want to come up with the next new thing, the big thing, got to change it, got to slash and burn. But it sounds like what you're saying, for a third of the people listening to this, that they probably just need to actually just wait, like, you know, put it out there and see if it's the right thing.
Well, and everything that I just said then also applies to the manifesting generators, who are 30% of the population. So it's like 75% of the population, 3/4 of the population are designed to wait for things to show up. And I think also, and I won't go into the details of this now because I know I'm rabbiting on, because I do rabbit on, but it's all about your gut, right? It's all about a gut reaction. It's not hocus pocus. You know, every single one, that might be a big statement to make, but I venture to say a huge number of your audience, especially those who are generators, will have had experiences where they said, I wish I had listened to my gut. You know, my gut's telling me I should do this. And quite simply, that is your response mechanism. That is your defined sacral energy center when you're a generator type, giving you guidance. So it's not that hard to get you know, to understand and to understand why it works when you think about it in terms of it being that gut response.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So before I interrupted you, you're going to tell us also about manifesting generators and like what drives them and like their internal strategy.
So the big difference between manifesting generators and pure generators is that manifesting generators go very, very fast, and they tend to skip steps, and they tend to stuff up and make mistakes and have to go back and fix things. They are very, very busy, they get into a flow state, and they, you know, you can't really rouse them out of there. If you do, they get angry, because we did talk about the not self themes, the conditioning themes, and the conditioning themes of the manifesting generator are anger and frustration. And if you interrupt a manifesting generator when they're in their flow state, they can get really narky with you. At the very least, they'll be frustrated. So manifesting generators, they tend to be the ones that can have 30 tabs in there. In their browser open at any one time, because they go from one thing to the other and back to another, and you know they can very easily move through things.
Mm-hmm.
They can't, I will have a gentle argument with anyone who tells me that manifesting generators can multitask and the other types can't. No one can multitask, at least not do their best work. I don't believe that to be true. But what manifesting generators can do is move very quickly from one thing to another. Whereas pure generators, tend to do really well working on one thing. And then when they're done with that thing, they put it down, they sort of stand up, and then they move to the next thing. They tend to do really well when they finish something before they start the next thing.
Mm.
Not so much the case with manifesting generators. In fact, one of the things that manifesting generators are often being told is, well, you just pick one thing and stick with it. And if they did that, that would be very much a shame, because that's not how they're designed.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be asking them to go against their type. Generators, on the other hand, really do well picking one thing and sticking with it. So, yeah, they're the main differences between. That's the main difference, is the fact that manifesting generators are running around like a headless chook, and pure generators tend to be a little more stable and settled, and they tend to make fewer mistakes. It becomes very obvious that generators and manifesting generators are two very different types of animal.
Mm.
Of people.
They're animals.
Yeah.
And there is so much to this. I mean, we're talking what is it, like 64 gates and 384 possibilities and all these things, but even just as like an overview for someone listening to this who it might be their first interaction with human design, like what does knowing this do for us? Like knowing what sort of type we are in the human design chart.
So many people these days are looking for, in a broad sense, their life's purpose. What am I here for? What am I here to do? What am I good at? You know, nothing I'm doing seems to be working out. They're looking for inspiration. They're looking for this certainty thing that I've spent the better part of my life looking for. And understanding your human design, certainly understanding your strategy and authority, is massive, because that's the foundation of all of this work. Understanding how you are designed to make decisions, how your energy works, is just massive. Finding out you're a projector and you're not designed to work 50 hours a week is at the very least life-changing, and at the most life-saving for many, many people. A good percentage of that 22% of the population that are projectors when they find out. But it is so empowering to know that, you know, you are somebody who is here to lead others, or is here to be really good at controlling resources, or is here to have a special relationship with spirit. And we all have all of the chart, by the way. I'm singling some things out, and you might look at your chart and say, well, I don't have that. And we all have all of the chart. We all have the opportunity to be exposed to all of these energies. But when you have them defined, you have a special relationship with them. There's 64 different human archetypes that are defined in the human design chart. It's based on the Chinese I Ching. I don't know whether anybody listening is familiar with the Chinese I Ching. I'm sure they are, which is, you know, a ancient, thousands of years old way of divining. It's basically a fortune telling tool, but there are 64 hexagrams of the Chinese I Ching, which correlate to the 64 gates of human design. And so those 64 different energies we can all relate to in some way. You know, there's the gate of correction, there's the gate of ideas, there's the gate of storytelling, and so on and so on and so on. And as I said, we all have access to all of these energies, but some of these energies are going to be really special to you. And when you find out that you have them, when you find out that you have them, you are then able to incorporate them into your life, into your work, into your family, into just, you know, the way you feel when you wake up in the morning. It's so empowering. It's, you know, trying to be someone that you're not is exhausting. It's a recipe for burnout when you find out who you are. And I'm not saying that every single person is trying to be something that they're not, but geez, it's a fight these days, you know, between marketing and, you know, the being told what to do by everyone who has got 50 cents to spend on doing it is what we're all faced with. And it can be really exhausting fighting that, let alone fighting against your own type. So it's, I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, this podcast is called Real Fabulous Marketing because, yeah, I want people to be themselves on social media and share their fabulousness. And I guess, can you talk to, like, I know within human design, there's sort of this throat chakra, open throat, closed throat. I don't know if that's the place that it's going to be sort of centered, but could you talk to this thing of the, you know, like, I love the human design is helping people sort of tap into their own strengths. But what about those people who are struggling to show up on socials, who sort of like go to post and it just all becomes overwhelming, or want to put that thing out, but it just keeps on getting put to the back burner? Like, is there something going on there that could be helped by human design?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. So first and foremost, I would encourage everyone to find out what type they are. And unless they're a manifestor type, don't just do it. Like, don't just say, oh, I better post something on social media. Because if you do that, it's probably going to fall on deaf ears. However, if you happen to pick up your phone, you know, if you're a generator type, and you happen to pick up your phone and you see something, you go, oh my goodness, I could write a post on that. Well, there you are responding. There you are just doing what you're supposed to do. And you create a post. And guess what? It lands. People read it. They love it. They like it. They share it. They do all of those sorts of things that we're all looking to do. This whole thing about planning, and I don't, that's a very interesting topic because it's really difficult to plan for things to show up in your external reality. You know, that's the whole thing. But I think being aware of your type, being aware of the fact that if you are a generator type, you're designed to respond to things in your external reality allows you to, you know, go ahead and make, if you're having a particularly inspired day, if your Facebook feed or your emails are being particularly kind to you and giving you a whole lot of things to respond to, in terms of social media posting, or, and I'm being quite specific here, but you can use this in any way, then go ahead and, you know, do the batching thing. Have a whole lot of things sitting there waiting. And, you know, of course, there's the projector thing where projectors have to be invited to do something. Well, you don't have to be invited to make a social media post, but there are ways of making a social media post when you are a projector, which will feel more attractive to other people. And, you know, you are here to share your wisdom. You are here to guide, manage, and direct others, all the while being incredibly humble about it, because there's nothing worse than a projector sort of pushing themselves out on the masses that really can land awkwardly. So it's just understanding how you are designed to operate. I know that's probably the 10th time I've said that in the last little while, but I can't apologize for it because it's so important. And it's not just about your social media posts. It's about your advertising and how you present yourself in your advertising. It's about how you present yourself in your website, how you present yourself when you're writing a blog post. All of those things can be fashioned around your human design type, and it just makes them so much more acceptable to your audience, because they feel it. It's an energy, right? It's all energy.
Yeah.
It's an energy and they feel it.
Yes. And
I can feel if you're not being authentic.
Yes. And also, I mean, in sort of the ads world and, you know, just even sort of putting yourself out there, and they can feel if you're just paying lip service as well, like, to, I better do this thing. Or when, even if people do spend lots of money on ads, you know, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars, but the launch doesn't go as well, there's something going on there that's happening underneath, I find, that people can definitely sense and feel.
Absolutely. And we are all, whether we like it or not, and most of us like it, we are all becoming more intuitive. We are all getting better at sensing what's true for us, and what's, you know, our BS detectors are all getting a lot stronger and more finely tuned.
Definitely. And do you have any advice for people wanting to tap more into that intuitive side of themselves, like how they can go about and do that?
Well, I think it's happening natively right now. You know, I'm a believer in the fact that we are all being evolved very rapidly, whether we like it or not. I know I am, and I know that without exception, everyone that I know who's, you know, sort of tapped in, what does that even mean? Anyone who's taking any notice of what's going on energetically that I know is also experiencing the same thing. But I will just drag out that old thing again and say it's about raising your frequency. If you can work with your frequency, if you can raise your frequency, have it at a place where you, not only are you not bothered by all of the ridiculousness that's going on out there, because you're at a much higher frequency and physics tells you that you can't get dragged down into a lower frequency, which the ridiculousness is. Not only that, but you also start to naturally tap into your intuition. And you know what? I think for so many people, it's just a case of believing that they are intuitive. I mean, intuition, there is the gate of intuition, and it's remarkable the number of people who have the gate of intuition defined in their chart, which means for them it's a consistent, sustainable energy, who don't know that they're intuitive. And so It's a case of, number one, knowing that you're intuitive, because we all are. We all have all of the chart. But we're all, I don't have the gate 57 defined in my chart, and I know that I am incredibly intuitive, but no more intuitive than anyone else is capable of being.
Mm-hmm.
We all are. It's a case of knowing, of trusting, of surrendering to it all. All of those buzzwords.
Maybe a buzzwords for a reason.
Yeah,
so,
I think so
aside from learning about human design and following your intuition as to what your next interesting thing that you're going to be learning about, Roz, what do you do for fun?
I have to say the number one, maybe not the number one thing anymore. It certainly used to be. But right up at the top of the list is actually reading and learning about human design, because you never stop learning. You never stop learning. But I obviously, well, perhaps not so obviously, but I love wine. And so I really enjoy learning about wine. I love, well, I've got, yeah, a fairly extensive collection, and neither my partner nor myself are huge drinkers, but we are, by anyone's standards, we drink broadly and we drink wine. So I love wine, and I love cooking. Cooking is one of my great pleasures. It's something that just comes very naturally to me, and I love putting the love in the food and, you know, starting things from scratch and presenting it beautifully. Of course, that's in my chart as well. And getting out in nature. Getting out in nature is so important for every single one of us, because it cleanses our auric field and gets rid of all the junk and the overwhelm and the sludge that we tend to get muddied up with on a daily basis, just going out into the world, even just, you know, being in front of a laptop with all of that electromagnetic radiation, not to mention, you know, the fact that we are in other people's auric space when we're online with them. So yeah, that, look, I could go on and I won't. I always say I love the good things in life, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Anything that's beautiful, gardens, food, wine, all of those. Travel, yes, I
all
keep going.
Things. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing so much wisdom and knowledge today on the topic of human design and business. So where can people find you, Roz, and, you know, book in a session with you?
They can find me at my website, which is findyournaturalgroove.com, one word. And they can find me on Instagram. I do a lot of posting on Instagram. And a lot of, I like to sort of use Instagram as my educational place. So there's a lot there. Also on Facebook, of course, Find Your Natural Groove. And yeah, that also they can, people can subscribe if they want to and get a free mini guide to the 5 human design types. So if you go to my website, Find Your Natural Groove, you'll find a little place where you can just pop your details in, and you'll receive immediate access to that little one pager, which has got lots and lots of information. You've never seen so much information on one page.
Oh, I love that. It's kind of part of the selling. It's a single page.
Yes,
I'm
exactly.
Sure, some sort of type is like, oh, thank goodness. Just one page.
Just one page, but a busy one page, let me tell you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Roz. And until next time, stay fabulous.
Thanks, Miranda.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Real Fabulous Marketing. If you liked it, I would love for you to head on over to iTunes or Spotify, leave me a review, and if you know someone who could use this, maybe you could forward it to them so they can have a listen. And if you are a micro business with less than 5 employees and you want to get your mojo back, head to mirandaivy.com/micro and download my free micro business self-check-in now. Until next time, stay fabulous.